Our scripture today is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Will you join me? Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Let's read the Lord's word.
All right, today I'm going to preach a sermon to the children. And so if your parent is here with you, raise your hand. We got some old kids today. All right, so if you still live at home, I'm preaching to you. And if your parents are still living, I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to all of the children today, okay? And so what that means is our little ones, we need to pay a little more attention. And so moms and dads, if you can help them get over to the scriptures that we'll be looking at so that they can see the passage with their own eyes. Moms and dads, if you can help them stay awake and pay attention, if you start to notice them. See, I got two of them right in front of me, and so there's no way they're going to fall asleep because I'll be right on top of them. But help them stay awake, help them pay attention, because the Word of God is addressed to them today. Now, last week, we started to look at Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, and we drew four big implications from that passage. And we're just going to briefly review those. And so, kids, if you have your sermon notes, you'll be able to follow along. The first implication was this from Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Paul saw the law as relevant and authoritative. Paul is going to address the children. He's speaking directly to the children. And what does he do? He appeals to the fifth commandment. And what that means is that the Apostle Paul did not see the law as gone forever, but is still relevant to God's people and to children. The second implication is that the Apostle Paul assumed that children would be in the assembly, that is, in the gathered church. That's why he talks directly to you, kids, because he assumed that you wouldn't be out playing with trucks or coloring or watching VeggieTales. He assumed that you'd be in church with your mom and dad listening to the Word of God. That's why he's able to say, children, directly addressing you. The third thing that we drew from this passage last week is that we saw that the relationship of children of believers to the church surfaces here. And so, kids, we're going to test your memory for a second, okay? Are you, by trying to put this in language that kids can understand, kids, are you, simply because your mom and dad are members of the church, does that automatically make you Christians and members of the church? Automatically? No. On the other hand, kids, are you godless little heathen without the knowledge of God? Regardless of what your dad may say to you, the answer is no, you're not. You actually are a privileged participant in the church of Jesus Christ, and thus of the means of grace. And so, in a real way, God has set you apart with a Christian family in a Christian church that believes the gospel and preaches the Word of God. That is a blessing that you will never be able to fully appreciate until you're grown up and you're able to see the godless heathen people all around you. And then, finally, the fourth implication was this, that children can be converted and filled with the Spirit. And so kids, no matter how young you are, if you can understand what I'm saying to you, what that means is that you can be converted. That is, you can be saved and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because as Paul is talking to the children in this passage, he is talking to them in the Lord and telling them that their submission to their parents is one of the results of being filled with the Spirit. And so if Paul is talking to you like that, that means that you can be saved and filled with the Spirit. And wonderfully, some of you, many of you, are saved. And we thank God for that. And there are others of you who are not saved yet. But do you know what? Mom and Dad are hopeful. Your pastors are hopeful. Why? Because you're under the sound of the gospel week after week. And do you know what? Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers of all time, said, "Where the gospel abounds, conversions abound." And so we are very, very hopeful for the next generation that God would save many, many of you, and hopefully each and every one of you. Now that brings us to the passage today, okay? And so we begin, first of all, with the duty of children. You understand what a duty is, right? It's something that you have to do. It's not something that you do if you want to do. Will I go out and play wiffle ball or will I go out and ride my bike? That's a choice that you get to make. This duty is not a choice that you get to make. This duty is something that God says you have to do. And the duty of children in this passage, notice very clearly, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, we're going to learn a little grammar, okay? Because you know how important grammar is. The whole world turns on grammar. And so, kids, if you don't like grammar, shame on you. Start to like grammar. It may be the means of grace by which God saves your soul, okay? Now, you think I'm joking about that, but Martin Luther said, grammar is the sheath in which the sword of the Spirit rests. This command, children, obey your parents, is a present tense verb, and it is a command. That is, it's an imperative. And so, impress your parents later and say, did you know obey is a present imperative? And what that means is that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, is saying, go on continually obeying your parents. It's a command, and it's one that is to be done at all times. Now, you know what this means, kids? It means it's not okay to say, I obeyed mom and dad yesterday. Today's a new day. It doesn't mean, you know, I've obeyed four times in a row. I think I'm going to do my own thing now. The Bible says that you are to obey at all times, continually. There is never a time where it's okay for you to disobey your parents. Now notice in the text, it does say, obey your parents. That means both mom and dad. Okay? Some of you are sneaky. And you know that you can give lip service to dad because he spanks harder, but you're able to get away with more with mom. Okay? I'm not making this stuff up. This is real life stuff. Okay? And some of you think that you can get away more with your mom because she's not as hard on you. The Bible doesn't say, obey whatever parent spanks harder. The Bible says, obey your parents, both mom and dad. We're going to come back to that when we actually look at the fifth commandment. So what does this mean to obey your parents? It means that you submit to them in everything. God has made them the authority in your life. And for you to obey your parents means that by God's command, He has told you that you need to submit to their authority. And what that means is that you do what they say in all circumstances, even if they're not there to tell you to do it. To obey your parents in the Lord means that you obey when they're watching and when they're not watching. You submit to their authority because God has put them in charge of you. You know what, kids? You know what this obedience looks like? Obey your parents in the Lord. It looks like this. First time obedience. Obeying your parents after they've told you three times is not obeying your parents. The kind of obedience that God tells you that you need to perform with your parents is first time obedience. Your parents should not have to ask you twice. Your parents should not have to start this counting process. And parents, we'll talk about counting when we get to verse 4. If you know that you can wait till mom or dad gets to 5 before you have to really get serious about obeying, you're breaking God's commandment. God's requirement of you, no matter how little you are, is that you obey the first time. You owe your parents first time obedience. And that's what Paul means when he says, children, obey your parents. Now notice what else Paul says, in the Lord. Obedience is actually a matter of Christian discipleship. You are to obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, it is a matter of ultimately obeying the Lord. Just like wives are to submit to their husbands in the Lord, so children are to obey their parents in the Lord. And that in the Lord means that you are rendering that obedience to your parents as an act of Christian discipleship. Now, a long time ago, the Jewish people took God's law, the Ten Commandments, and they divided them into two tables. Now, originally, we know that God gave them two tablets upon which the law was written. Now, those two tablets, actually, I happen to think were just the same copy, two copies of the same thing. But in later tradition, the law of God was seen on two tablets, and the first tablet was man's duty to God, and the second tablet was man's duty to man, all right? And so obviously, you shall have no other gods before me. That's a duty to God. Do you know where the Jewish people put the fifth commandment? They put it on the first tablet, telling us that their view, biblical view, was that obedience to parents was first and foremost not a duty to man, but a duty to God. When you obey your parents, you are obeying the Lord. Because ultimately, it is the Lord who has commanded you to obey. Now, kids, listen very carefully to me. This is one of the reasons why obedience to your parents is so absolutely important. If you never learn to obey your parents, you will never learn to obey God. God has, for the time being, set up your home so that your parents are a dim reflection of God over your life. And so you are to obey them in the Lord. It is a matter of obeying God by obeying your parents. Now, why should you do this? The reason for this duty, the second part of verse 1. For this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, the word right can actually be translated, for this is righteous. If you want a big picture of what the Apostle Paul's talking about, he's saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is righteous. That is, it is wise and it is good. What's the book of Proverbs about? Wisdom, right? How to live a wise life. Everyone, turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Obeying your parents, kids, is a matter of being wise. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Right at the very beginning of this book that's going to teach us how to live wisely in this world, what we see are these words. Hear, my son, you can throw in daughter if you're a girl. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. When Solomon starts off on teaching us how to be wise in this world, one of the very first things he tells us that we need to do in order to be wise is to pay attention and obey the instructions of our mother and our father. And so when Paul says that it is right or righteous to obey your parents in the Lord, he's saying, first of all, this is the way of wisdom. This is what makes you wise. Turn over to chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse 1, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And so what kind of son listens and accepts his father's discipline? A wise son. Why? The son recognizes God has put my dad and my mom in my life as my authority, and if I'm going to be wise, then I'm going to listen to and accept their discipline in my life. One of the biggest sins that children commit is that they think that they're smarter than their parents. Sometimes we think that, don't we, kids? Sometimes when we know that mom and dad have told us that you do this and you do this, and we see that we can do this and we can get away with it, we start to think, well, you know what? Mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. Mom and dad don't know what it is to have fun. Mom and dad are so stodgy and they're so old and they don't even know what fun is. And so, well, I'm going to do this because mom and dad are never going to find out. They're never smart enough to find out. Listen to me, kids. If you want to be wise, what you will do is you will recognize that your parents are wiser and smarter than you, and they will forever be. I'll always be smarter than you boys. Chapter 15 and verse 5. If you think you're smart and you reject your father's discipline, this is what the Bible says about you. Proverbs 15:5, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. And so, when Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right or this is righteous, he's saying that there is wisdom to this. This is the way of wisdom. Listen to what your parents say. Follow what they say. Obey them in the Lord because it's righteous, it's wise, but it's also good. Colossians, which is the sister epistle to Ephesians, in its parallel passage to this, says, children, obey your parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. And so when the Apostle Paul tells us that obedience to parents is righteous, he means it is wise and it is morally good. Kids, do you understand that God always sees what you do? He always sees your heart. God always, always knows your thoughts. There's not one single solitary thing that you can think or feel or do which God does not know. Now, you may fool mom and dad once in a while, But the God of heaven sees, and the God of heaven knows, and a child who obeys mom and dad does what is right in the sight of God. He does what is wise, what is good, and what is pleasing to the Lord. Now Paul goes on, and he gives us the foundation of this duty, which is the fifth commandment. And so take your Bibles and turn over to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. This is God's command. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. In verse 16. Notice, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. The foundation of the duty to obey parents is in the fifth commandment. God says when he gives the law to Moses, when he gives the Ten Commandments to Moses, that fifth commandment is to honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life on the land which the Lord your God gives you. And so kids, the commandment itself in the New Testament, obey your parents in the Lord for this is righteous, based on honor your father and mother. Now, honor is more than just to obey, but it is never less than to obey. When the Bible tells you that you're supposed to honor your mother and father, it means that you are to love them and to respect them and to have a reverence for them that has in turn a corresponding obedience, so that you obey them because you love them. You obey them because you respect them. You obey them because you revere them as the parents whom God has given to you. And I would remind you, kids, that the commandment says, honor your father and your mother. Do you understand, kids, that both mom and dad have authority over your life, and both parents, mom and dad, have a united partnership under God over you? Now listen carefully. To disobey or disrespect mom is to disobey and disrespect dad. And to disobey and disrespect dad is to disobey and disrespect mom. They are one under God and over you. And therefore, the Bible says that you honor both of them because they are one. Now, parents, there's a huge lesson in that for us. And that is that we must make an effort by God's grace and help to be a united partnership as we seek to raise our children. Sometimes our children know just exactly how to divide and conquer. Our children come into this world born as expert military strategists. And they will be able to, they can sense it. That's why when you have a disagreement over how the children are to be raised or to be disciplined or to be instructed, you don't carry on the conversation right in front of them. You form a united front together. And you say, this is the law. You diss me, you diss her. You diss her, you diss me. And it's not acceptable. And fathers, You should in no way, shape, or form allow any of your children to disrespect your wife. You should be just as offended when she is disrespected as when you are disrespected, and you should discipline your children just as severely as if they were to disrespect you to your face the minute that they disrespect your wife. Now, God takes honoring our parents very, very seriously. The book of Proverbs is absolutely filled with children who do not obey their parents, who do not accept their parents' discipline. And do you know what the Proverbs continually say about such children? They're fools. They're fools. They are living in a way that is absolutely filled with folly, and there is absolutely no sense, no wisdom, no righteousness, no goodness in a child who would dare to defy the authority of their parents. That's God's verdict on those children who would disrespect and disobey their parents. And so God takes disobeying and dishonoring parents very, very seriously. You can go to the book of Leviticus, and what you see is woven together in a couple of places in Leviticus 19. God weaves together honoring him and reverencing parents and those of older age. Those things are woven together because God values honoring parents so much. Now, here's the thing that you need to see, kids. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. I want you to follow along very, very carefully, starting in verse 18. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise or discipline him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of the city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. Why? So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Now, you could say right away, thank the Lord for that new covenant. And most certainly, the death penalty is not employed for children who disobey their parents. I would dare say that if that were the case, this place would be much more sparsely populated. Some of us older people wouldn't be here. Okay? So, but when you read this passage, you don't just jump to the conclusion, oh good, I'm glad that they don't enforce the death penalty for that anymore. If that's your first thought, then you end up missing the point. Here's the point. God so values honoring, respecting, and obeying parents that he implemented the death penalty under the old covenant for those children who were rebellious, who ended up being drunkards, who ended up living their own life, and that was the penalty. Why was that the penalty? Because God saw children who behaved like that as an evil influence in the society of Israel, and God's method of taking care of it was to take the evil out of the society. And so rebellious, disobedient, drunken, doesn't have to just be drunkenness, drug abusing children were to be removed. That's God's verdict on disobedient children, and that is a reflection of how he values the way that you should treat your parents. And he says that such behavior is so evil in my sight, implement the death penalty. Now, parents, there's a lesson in this for us. Some of us have become so casual when it comes to our children talking back to us, disrespecting us, disobeying us, flagrantly doing their own thing when they want to do it. We have become so accustomed to it that we ourselves do not reflect the seriousness with which God takes honoring your parents. And if we won't take it seriously, then how in the world do you expect our children to take it seriously with the kind of seriousness that God attaches to it? Throughout the Old Testament, there are repeated commands in the first five books of the Bible to reverence and to honor not just your mother and father, but to those with gray hair, that is, to those who are older. Do you know why? Because in the Bible, kids, you need to listen to this. In the Bible, age, older age, commands respect. We live in a day and age where we make fun of old people, and it's wrong. It is flat out wrong to make fun of older people. The Bible's perspective is that that gray hair and that old age commands respect and it commands honor. And you show that honor by treating your parents and those who are older with respect. Because when you do that, you are showing, first of all, respect for life. Where did you come from? Do you understand that we live in a cultural collapse? We are killing the future generation by abortion, and we are absolutely relegating the elderly to the fringes, and pretty soon we'll be killing them too. And the Bible tells us that one generation needs to show the respect and honor to the previous generation because that's where they came from. And if you show respect to your parents and you show respect to those who are older, you're showing respect for life. You're showing respect for wisdom. They will always be wiser than you. You're showing respect for the love and the faith that they have passed down to you. In other words, kids, God cherishes the way that you treat your parents and the older generation because it says something about what's inside of your own heart. To honor parents and the aged is to show that we really do value the inheritance that they leave us. We are so foolish, and the foolishness starts and is absolutely promulgated by the media, and it's promulgated by our culture, and we think that we are the end-all and be-all, whatever generation you happen to be a part of, and we are self-centered, we're narcissistic, we're like hedonistic little shelf-worn gods that just go around saying, I want what I want, and that's all that matters, and the Bible says that that is not the way that you live. You show respect and honor to those who have gone before you. You embrace the inheritance that they give to you. You embrace the love, the traditions, the faith that they've passed down to you. And you do it because you recognize that in them God has given you life. In them has come authority. In them has come an inheritance which is absolutely valuable and which you cannot live without. R.J. Rush Dooney wrote, in biblical faith, the family inherits from the past in order to grow firmly into the future. And so kids, small and old, the God who rules each and every generation says that each generation must honor the generation that has gone before because to do so is to honor God Himself.
the giver and sustainer of all life. And to fail to do so is to absolutely despise the inheritance that God has given through your parents and to ultimately disinherit yourself. Young people, God could not take lightly a generation that will not honor its parents and respect the aged. And that's why in Deuteronomy 28, he imposes curses upon those who would not respect those with the gray hair. That's why God imposed the death penalty upon rebellious children. And so, kids, what do you think God thinks about our world today? You hear the talk at school. You hear the garbage on television. You see the way that the cartoon characters disrespect their parents because their parents are just a bunch of idiots. And this is funny and it's popular. And so it's just in the air that we breathe. But I will tell you, on the basis of what God says, it's not funny. And it's not right. And so God takes seriously us honoring our mother and our father. And then Paul says, this is the first command with a promise. This is the first command with the promise. So the promise is going to be what? Long life. Long life. Now, when Paul says this is the first command with the promise, he means this is the first command in the Ten Commandments with the promise. Now, some people look at the verses 4 through 6 where God says, in fact, if you're close to Exodus 20, go ahead and turn back there. Starting in verse 5, Exodus 25, some people look at this passage, "You shall not worship them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." Some people say, well, that's a promise. And so what is this? What is Paul saying that this is the first commandment with the promise? Well, I would suggest to you that what you see in verses 5 and 6 is not an explicit promise at all, but an explicit declaration of God's character and how God acts. When you get to the fifth commandment, what you have is the first explicit promise. And what is the promise? That it may go well with you. How many of you want to live absolutely miserable lives? Parents can't raise the hands of their children. I mean, nobody wants to live a miserable life. How many of you want to be absolutely sad, absolutely depressed, absolutely hopeless, absolutely despairing, absolutely miserable? None of us. And what God says is, here's my command, honor your father and mother, and here's the promise, that it may go well with you, that you would live a blessed and happy life, not a trouble-free life, not a trial-free life, but that it may go well with you, that God would bestow upon you the blessing of a good and happy life before the Lord. And then here's the second part of the promise, and that you will live long upon the earth. That's the promise. You want to live a long time? Do you want a long, blessed, and happy life? The Bible says that one of the ingredients to that is to honor your mother and your father. Now, what Paul does is he actually universalizes the promise, takes it from beyond the borders of Canaan, and applies it to everybody, no matter where they're at, that you may live long life, which the Lord has given you. Now, some people say, well, I know people that have been really obedient and they've died young. You know, you can go to the Proverbs, by the way, and see Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 10, and to follow your father's wisdom and your mother's instruction leads to what? Long life. And so what the Bible promise is a general principle that says when you live a life of obedience to your mother and father, when you embrace their wisdom and you live according to the things that they have taught you, in general, you will live a longer, happier life. Charles Hodge, who's an old dead guy, wrote, "If it be asked whether obedient children are in fact thus distinguished by long life and prosperity, the answer is this. Like all other such promises, it's a revelation of a general purpose of God and makes known what will be the usual course of his providence. That some obedient children are unfortunate and short-lived is no more inconsistent with this promise than that some diligent men are poor is inconsistent with the declaration the hand of the diligent makes rich. Diligence, as a general rule, does result in riches, and obedient children, as a general rule, results in a prosperous and happy life. The general promise is fulfilled to individuals just as far as it shall serve God's glory and their good." Another commentator says, "To be sure, obedience or disobedience to parents is not the only factor that determines a person's lifespan, but it is an important factor that determines your lifespan. Disobedience to godly parents indicates an undisciplined life. It leads to vice and dissipation. This, in turn, all other things being equal, shortens life. In addition, it should be borne in mind that though a disobedient child may live on and become 100 years old, as long as he continues to live in his wickedness, it will never be well with him. He will have no peace. Undisciplined children spell ruin for the nation, the church, and society. The promise of God to reward obedience still holds." Kids, in general, I will tell you, you watch those older people sitting around you can testify. Who are the ones who died in the car crashes? Who are the ones who died of drug overdoses? Who are the ones that died because they drank too much? Who are the ones that lived short and miserable lives? By and large, not always, but by and large, it was those who disregarded the instruction and wisdom of their parents. And you might say to yourself, well, I know people that are really bad and they're old. But are they happy? Are they prosperous before the Lord? Do they have the kind of life that brings them fulfillment and satisfaction? And so, kids, the promise of God is this: obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that you may live a long life and that it may go well with you. The general principle is clear, both for individuals and societies, to honor parents as children and as grown children often leads to a happy and a long life. One person has written, "The reality of life is that he who loves life and honors the God who created life by reverencing his law and his parents under God lives most truly, happily, and longest as a rule. To despise one's parents or to hate them and dishonor them is to despise the immediate source of one's life. It's a form of self-hate. It is willful contempt for the basic inheritance of life." Parents have short memories. We look at our kids and we say to them, "Aren't you much happier when you obey?" And they say, "Yeah." And then you take them in and you have to spank them, and there's the tears and the crying and the sorrow and sadness. And we say, "You don't really like this, do you?" And they go, "No." "So it's better to obey, right?" "Yeah." And we think to ourselves, "What's wrong with these irrational little creatures?" parents and children, I would remind you this morning that the irrationality is a heart problem. It's a heart problem. Young people, what you need to understand today, especially I want to talk to the young people who are still living at home, God's requirement of you is that you always obey your mother and your father. That is God's requirement. There's never an exception. You obey your parents. I ask you, young people today, do you struggle with that? Do you find within yourself a desire to disobey, to disrespect? Do you find that sometimes those desires come out? Do you find yourself breaking the fifth commandment and over and over and over again? You know that you're breaking God's law, and mom and dad come and they bring the rod of correction down upon you and they explain to you, God has said that you need to obey us and that foolishness is bound up in your heart. The rod of correction is going to remove it far from you. And you think to yourself, I want to obey. When mom and dad say something to me, there's something deep inside of me that wants to obey. And then all of a sudden, there's something else that seems to be a little closer to the surface that says, I don't need to obey. And all of a sudden, there is this turmoil inside and this struggle inside. Kids, if you know that struggle, if you know that battle to obey your mom and dad, and you begin to understand that when I disobey them, I'm disobeying God. And that means that I'm breaking God's law. And so I've got mom and dad who are on me, disciplining me, and I'm violating the very law of God that God has given, and you begin to feel that turmoil and that struggle. I want to tell you that that is a clear demonstration, kids, that you need the grace of God in Jesus Christ in your life. One of the most common areas of conviction among young people is that they break the fifth commandment. They disobey, they disrespect mom and dad, and words come out of their mouths and actions take place in their lives, and they know that it's wrong, and deep inside they have a struggle. And I want to tell you, kids, that that conviction is the conviction of the Holy Spirit who is convicting you that you are not doing right and you are not pleasing to the Lord and that you are breaking His law. And so that very action, those very feelings reflect within you a heart that is sinful and desperately, desperately needs to be forgiven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you need, kids, more than anything else is that you need Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord and your Savior, because if you are ever to gladly submit to your mom and dad, and if you are ever to gladly to submit to God, you need to be made new. You need a new heart. And that conviction is the Holy Spirit telling you, you need a new heart. And so what do you need to do? The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, kids, what I'm telling you today is that if you find yourself in a struggle on the inside and you hate the very things that you do and you want to be different, there's only one way for you to be different. And it isn't just to try harder. You know, the minute you try harder, what happens? You do worse. The only remedy for your heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I tell you today, kids, turn to the Lord Jesus and be saved. And I will tell you, in talking to many of our young people who've been converted, one of the first signs of saving grace in their life is a new desire to obey their parents. Don't live life in such a way that you just do your own thing and do what you want to do, and mom and dad can tell me all they want, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do when they're not looking. That is no kind of way to live. Turn to the Lord and be saved. To adult children, I would close with this. The command to honor our parents does not go away once we leave and cleave. It looks different, to be sure. But let's make sure that we are not a generation that disinherits ourselves from the previous generation. Let us make sure that just as we require our children to honor us in the Lord because it is right, that we ourselves honor our parents and respect their age and their wisdom and their faith and their love. And let us honor our parents and thus honor the God who has given them to us. Let it never be said of us that our homes reflected the culture of anti-elderly. But rather, may our homes reflect the lordship of Jesus Christ, with children obeying their parents, grown children continuing to honor their parents, because this is righteous, it is pleasing in the sight of God, and it is one of the signs of the Spirit's presence and the Spirit's fullness in our homes. Let's pray. Father, we pray specifically right now for our children. And we pray that through the law will come the knowledge of sin. And we pray, Father, that you would draw them to your Son, who obeyed perfectly in every way, and that you would be pleased to give many of them new hearts today. Father, we pray that you would save our children from this crooked and perverse generation. We pray that you would build them up and make them strong and mighty, and by your grace may they choose the fear of the Lord and the wisdom of the Lord and the word of the Lord. Father, may your blessing and peace be upon them. May they find you to be true. May they call upon you and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.